Thank you, ladies. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians right now, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. This is the passage that we'll be looking at a little later today. It's actually a passage we will be looking at for the next 5 weeks as we continue our study called The Greatness of God and Undivided Hearts. Today we're going to introduce these verses. So, Ephesians chapter 1. And if you would stand as the Word of God is read, please. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You may be seated. And I'm going to ask the men to come for our offering, and while you are giving, if you... Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for this time of worship. It's been good. Many of us have expressed to you things that are really there, really on our minds, really on our hearts toward you. Thank you for the opportunity to do that through song. Thank you for the opportunity to return back to you a portion of how you've provided for us so that your ministry could go on here and touch lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for choosing to reveal yourself, your plans, your purposes, your work to us through the scriptures. And I ask that you would once again meet us here in your word. And I pray that we would be ministered to by the truth of what you have to say. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So your Bibles are open to Ephesians chapter 1. Have you ever been breathless? Maybe it was when you had the wind knocked out of you, where you feel like you're never going to be able to breathe again. I know it happened to me often, especially in basketball, with the elbows flying. And it's a terrible feeling. Breathless. Maybe it's after, I've never experienced this, but maybe it's after you've run a long ways, or have just run a really hard sprint, and you see those people like this, and they're trying to catch their breath. They feel like they can't breathe. They're breathless. There have probably been times when you've been amazed by something, just awestruck. Someone or something has brought amazement. And we say, it takes our breath away. We're breathless. I think in 46 years, Janine probably has said that to me a couple times. You take my breath away? At least a couple times. Or some of you can identify with this. There are times when you are just so excited and you're telling somebody about your excitement and you're talking so fast and so excitedly you don't take time to breathe. You're breathless. Well, let me pass on some really interesting information about our passage today. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, as we have, you know, put them with verse numbers. But that section in the original Greek text involves 202 Greek words. And in the original text, there are no punctuations. It is one 202-word sentence in the original manuscript. It is the longest sentence in Scripture, in the original. And you wonder why. All I can think is that as Paul writes these things in this section, he is getting so excited about the truths that he's writing about that he forgets to punctuate. He is just going full force. He's grammatically breathless. Because it is an amazing collection of truths, as Ephesians 1 begins. And what we're going to do, we're not leaving our series, The Greatness of God and Undivided Hearts. But for the last 5 weeks now of the series, we will be in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. We are really going to look at this passage in the next weeks. And so today I just want to introduce it, kind of give you an overview of the passage, what we're going to see there, and then starting next week we'll go into detail piece by piece of this passage. And I pray that by the time we're done at the end of March, you will be breathless as you learn what this is saying about the greatness of God. Notice how it starts. Paul begins in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He begins praising God the Father. And if you would just jump down to the end of the passage, in the NIV, the last words of the passage are, "to the praise of His glory." So he starts with praise and he ends with praise to God. I want to suggest to you that what we're going to see, and I'm going to keep reminding you of this when we go through this passage, the spotlight of this passage is on God. It's all about Him and His greatness. And as we'll talk during these weeks, something has happened with this passage. And it's our doing. A lot of people spend much time debating things that are contained in this passage. And they argue about things that are contained in this passage. And they miss that the spotlight of this passage is on God. This is about God and His greatness. It's an amazing passage about God. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He talks about spiritual blessings. And as we go through this, we're going to see four spiritual blessings. I'm going to divide it up that way. So each week we'll talk about one of these spiritual blessings that Paul speaks of. Some of this passage is hard to understand. Some of this passage can be confusing. Some of this passage raises questions. And as I said, some of this passage can stir up controversy. But in the last 7 weeks, we have been getting prepared for this passage. Because in the last 7 weeks, we have looked at the greatness of God and truths that He reveals about Himself in Scripture. And so you see on that arc over this whole passage on your sheet, we have talked about God being all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, sovereign, unchanging, holy, good, love. Now, how has that been a preparation for Ephesians 1, 3 to 14? In this way. With that greatness of God that we have looked at and that we say we believe, we will look at this passage. We cannot forget those things we've learned about God. We must look at what is said in this passage in the context of the greatness of God. If we veer away from that, we're going to fall into the same issues that so many fall into with this passage. So, there's a reason for what we've done the first 7 weeks. It's preparation for Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. So, let me take you through what these four spiritual blessings from God are that we'll be looking at. I'm just going to point them out. We'll look at them in detail each week. So you might want to mark your calendar concerning the ones you really want to get in on. Or just forget about marking it and come every week and you'll get in on all of them. The first spiritual blessing, and all of them have to do with the people who belong to God, the followers of Christ. These are spiritual blessings from God to those who belong to Him. The first one is that we are chosen and predestined. We're going to see that in verses 4 to 6 and then 11 and 12. Notice in verse 4, it says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world." Notice, before the creation of the world, He chose us. And then in the next verse, "In love He predestined us before the creation of the world to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ." So we are chosen and predestined. It's a blessing. It happened before the creation of the world, chosen to be holy and blameless in God's sight, predestined to be adopted as His sons. That's what the text says. And notice the quote on your study sheet. "Though the idea of God choosing and predestining before the creation of the world sends a chill down many American spines, the indisputable fact remains, there it is in the text." We can't get around it. It's in the text. And that'll be the first blessing we talk about next week. We are chosen and predestined. And we'll talk about why that sometimes sends a chill up and down the spines of Americans. A lot of times Americans more than people in other parts of the world. And we're going to talk about what's called a love affair with free will. Oh, now you want to come, right? Or you'll be out there protesting. But that'll be next week, the first spiritual blessing that Paul presents. We are chosen and predestined. The second spiritual blessing, we are redeemed and forgiven. He says that next in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus. We sang about that today, didn't we? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We'll be talking about that. We are redeemed through His blood, and we also have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of His grace. Redeemed through the blood of Jesus, forgiven by God's grace. 2 weeks from today, we will celebrate that around the Lord's table. We'll celebrate that spiritual blessing. The third blessing that Paul brings up here is that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That comes up in verses 12 to 14. And just starting toward the end of verse 13, he says, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal he's talking about. Who, referring to the Holy Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So the third blessing from God to His people is that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That involves a promise fulfilled, Paul says. And it involves an inheritance guaranteed. And 3 weeks from today, we'll talk about that. What does that mean? What is he talking about, being sealed with the Holy Spirit? The fourth spiritual blessing that Paul brings up in this passage is that we are part of a big purpose and plan. We're part of a big purpose, a big plan. He presents that in verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. And here's the purpose: to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That is the ultimate fulfillment of God's big purpose and plan: to bring all things in heaven, on earth, under the headship of Jesus Christ. And we get to be part of that plan and that purpose. And on March 22nd, we'll wrap up this series looking at that purpose and that plan. Now, when you look at those four blessings, chosen and predestined, redeemed and forgiven, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and part of a big purpose and plan, what all four have in common is they come from God. Remember, the spotlight in this passage is on God. He is the one who chooses before the creation of the world. He is the one who predestines before the creation of the world. He is the one who redeems through the blood of Jesus. He is the one who forgives sins by His grace. It's His Holy Spirit that He gives to us and seals us with. It's His promise. It's His inheritance that He guarantees. And it's His purpose. It's His big plan. You see, this passage is all about God. We don't want to get away from that. It's about Him. Three important observations as you look at this passage, just to point them out before we get into it next week. First of all, it is really interesting, and as we go through this passage, starting today, if you mark in your Bible, oh, this is a wonderful passage to mark up. There are so many things to mark. You better have a lot of different colored pencils, because there are so many things that you can mark, because you want to remember them. You want them to stand out. The first thing I observe is this little phrase, in Christ. This passage is full of the phrase, in Christ, in Him, through Christ, through Him. A form of that phrase appears in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, 10 times. That phrase appears, in Christ, in Him, through Christ. I probably could have just told you which verses it's not in. It's in most of them. Must be important, right? These blessings that God has given to His people are connected with Jesus. They have to do with our union with Jesus. They have to do with Jesus' work. That's how these blessings come to be. They're all connected. Whether it's the choosing and predestining, the redeeming, the forgiving, the sealing with the Spirit, or even the purpose and the plan, as we go through, it's all through Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Christ. It's through Christ Jesus. That's something you observe, and you may want to go back through it when you go home and go through your notes again and mark in your Bible so you're ready for next week all the phrases like that. Second thing I observe, is this passage talks about the plan and the purpose and the will of God. Very clear. Verse 5, at the end it says, in accordance with His pleasure and will. In accordance with His pleasure and will. We come down to the last part of verse 9. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. And then in verse 11, the last part, according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Now, in these weeks, when we start looking at what those three statements are referring to, it will do us well to go back to what we've studied and be reminded that God is sovereign and God is holy and God knows all. Because when we see what He has done by His pleasure, purpose, and will, we had better have a good handle on those truths. Sovereign, holy, all-knowing. So, that's a big deal in this passage. The pleasure, the will, the purpose, the plan of God. It's very important here. The third thing that I observe has to do with God's glory. And like I said, this passage puts the spotlight on God. And His glory. Notice verse 6. Begins to the praise of His glorious grace. God has done something, and we'll see what it is, to the praise of His glorious grace. Again, end of verse 12. That it might be for the praise of His glory. The praise of His glory. And we'll eventually see what He has done to the praise of His glory. And then, like I pointed out, the passage ends, verse 14, to the praise of His glory. So I notice that's throughout. It keeps being repeated. To the praise of His glory. His glory. We cannot get away from those things in this passage. We cannot get away from the fact this passage puts the spotlight on God. We cannot get away from what we have already learned about the greatness of God in this series. And if we can hang on to those things, then as we go through the details, no matter how hard it is to understand, no matter how confusing it is, no matter how hard it is to accept, no matter how hard we wish something we read here isn't true, we have to look at it in the context of these great things about God that we've learned, in the context of praise being given to His glory, and in the context of His purpose, His plan, His pleasure, and His will. So what does this passage have to do with our series, The Greatness of God and Undivided Hearts? It has a lot to do with it. It's about the greatness of God. It really is. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at these four blessings in the next weeks. Let me give you, before we even go into it, a summary of this passage. Okay, here's a summary of the whole passage before we even look at it. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, okay, as you sit here, if you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ through personal faith in His person because of His work, then this is what you will learn in the next weeks about you. Right? Here's the summary of this passage. God loved you before the creation of the world and chose you to be part of His eternal purpose and plan. He determined before you existed that through Jesus, you would be saved and adopted into His family, redeemed, forgiven of your sins, and given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of all that is waiting for you in heaven. That's the summary of this whole passage. We're going to break it down in the next 4 weeks and see how He presents it. And I tell you what, I am praying, like I said, that when we get done with this series, done with these next four studies in this passage, that we will be a bunch of breathless people. Because we will be so much in awe, so amazed at the greatness of God, and how He has chosen to fit us into His eternal purpose and plan. And where will the undivided heart thing come to play? If you come out of this passage in the next 4 weeks, breathless, you won't be able to help having an undivided heart. You're going to have an undivided heart. It will be the only proper and rational response to the amazing truths in this passage. So I'll see you next week. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise for Your word. Thank You, God, that You have chosen to reveal so much to us. You're not keeping this a secret. You reveal Yourself, and we've been learning such great things about You these last weeks, Father. I pray that we'll remember those things. I pray that we truly believe those things so that it helps us to handle what we're going to see in this passage. And Father, may You use this passage and these truths that excited Paul so much he couldn't even put punctuation marks in. Father, may it excite us. May it amaze us. May we become breathless every time we think about it. And may it lead us to having those undivided hearts of commitment to You. That's our desire. Father, do Your work in the next weeks. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Stand and worship with us again. We're going to close with the song that we led before as a call to worship, Glorious Day, and can't think of a better song for this moment. So.
Sing out.
Yeah,
sing. Those of you who know it.
And if you want to be breathless today before you leave, yeah.
Sing with an undivided heart.
Absolutely.